Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 408 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Tammy Haverkamp. Tammy lives in Seneca, Kansas, and she is a wife, a mother of four, and she works for a health insurance company in customer service. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Jen.
It is great to talk to you today. And you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say it's an absolute honor to be speaking with you today. I was trying to think of a celebrity that I would be more excited to talk to, and I couldn't think of one. The work you've done has changed so many lives, and mine is just one of those. So thank you for that.
Well, I will just say I'm not a celebrity. I never want to be a celebrity. In fact, I was having this conversation with Will yesterday. We were sitting on the porch, and he used to want to be he was like in a band and played music, and he wanted to be famous. But now he's like, you know what? I don't want to be famous. I'm like, me neither, Will. Let's just do what we do quietly. I just want to help people who are ready to be helped. So that's it.
Well, anyway, you're doing it.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just a teacher who likes to tell people about things. So now it's intermittent fasting, but I appreciate that.
So what brought me to intermittent fasting? So I think about 2019, I think it was summer or the fall, I was listening to podcasts and this and that and always struggling with my weight. But one day I was searching for different podcasts on health and fitness, and I stumbled onto yours.
Awesome.
And it was the Intermittent Fasting Stories podcast. And I started listening and I got very interested. And I didn't know anything about you, didn't know you'd written a book. At the end of your podcast, of course, you have your email address on there. I emailed you to ask a question and you responded. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a real person. And I was so excited. And at that time, I was trying to just do the intermittent fasting with only the information I had from the podcast. I didn't have any other materials. I could hardly make it to 10 o'clock in the morning because I had these horrible headaches. I was always a black coffee drinker, but I ate chocolate chips for breakfast with my coffee because I like the chocolate and the coffee together.
Oh my gosh, that cracks me up.
So embarrassed to admit. I never put cream in my coffee, but it was with my coffee in a different form. Gosh.
Yeah. So chocolate chips will probably make the fasting pretty hard.
Yep. I'd count 10 chocolate chips and have them with my coffee in the morning. Anyhow, I could hardly make it to 10 o'clock and I had horrible headaches.
Yeah.
And I had emailed you and you said, yeah, that's normal. Just keep going. Okay. So I kept going and pretty soon I think I emailed another question that was kind of silly and I didn't get a response. So I was like, huh, well, where else can I find this information? How about that thing called the internet? So I started doing research. I eventually found your book, Delay, Don't Deny. I found that you had a Facebook group. You had talked about the book, The Obesity Code. And I just found way more resources. And so that's kind of where I started off.
And I do want to pop in there. I actually do not typically answer questions by email. So I wanted everybody to hear this because they're like, oh, Tammy said Jen answers questions by email. I do not. Please do not ask me questions by email about, you know, tweaking your fasting and things like that. Because here's why. I have all the resources for you available. If you're brand new, 28-day fast start day by day will tell you exactly what to expect, including the clean fast, which is super important. And I also have a community where you really can ask me questions and I will answer every single one of them. But you can imagine that I can't coach by email. And that was probably why I didn't answer the second one, Tammy. I'm like, uh-oh, she wants me to coach her by email.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that.
No, and knowing what I know now, it makes total sense. And
right.
It prompted me to go find resources and they're
good,
out, like you said. So that was kind of my first experience though.
You found Delay, Don't Deny, and then you understood, okay, I've got a fast clean, and that hopefully changed the experience.
I understood the fast clean, and I went to pretty much a 16-8 pretty regularly. But, you know, that's where I found it. And I'll kind of describe myself a little bit. I'm 5'9". I've been roughly this size and height since I was a seventh grader. I heard a podcast person yesterday say an early bloomer, and yes, that describes me. So I've always had a pretty muscular build and been a very strong person. God bless my PE teacher when I was growing up because he was never let us use the word can't in PE. He believed we all could and just really got me into physical activity. And he was big on promoting the Presidential Fitness Award. I don't know if you remember those in school
from
those days.
Are we the same age?
I was born in 76. So
okay, I'm a little older. I was born in 69, but yes, I remember that. And
yeah.
I did not like that. The presidential, did you like it?
I did. I like won the award several years. So it was I was all happy about it.
Well,
but
I can't do, like, I was great at certain parts of it. I was great at the sit-ups, for example, because of my dance background and I had really strong core. But the running, what was it? 600 yards we had to run. Is that what they called it back then? I was not good at that. I didn't like the arm hang. I wasn't good at that. Anyway, I just never felt like I was very good at it. It's hard for those of us that are not winning the award. Anyway, I just compared myself to everybody else and felt like I didn't measure up.
I could never do the chin-ups, but everything else, I must have been good enough that I got the award. But, you know, whatever. It was... You know, elementary me, it meant something, but you know. And so when I got into junior high and high school, I would do some running and things. And actually, when I moved to the town where I live in now, the first time I ran a 5K, I finished and somebody's like, wow, Tammy's faster than she looks. Whatever that's supposed to mean. But anyhow, so being physically active was always important to me. But growing up, I had an awareness that I was bigger than everybody else since the point I was a kindergartner.
And was it that you were just taller and just a large frame?
I think I was taller and a larger frame. And I wish I could go back and tell myself that I was just early and everybody else would catch up and that I was going to be average someday. But at that point, I didn't know that and I didn't realize that. And I just felt out of place because I was bigger than everybody else. And it really felt like it's something I got picked on about a lot and just kind of really was always in my mind. So my first efforts at trying to lose some weight was my sophomore year in high school. That was the days of the bread machine and low fat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I was an athlete in high school, and I would eat a piece of homemade bread and an apple for lunch and hardly anything any other time. I'd go to practice and I'd feel lightheaded. I felt awful, you know, but it was low fat and I was counting my calories and I lost some weight, but then I couldn't stick with that, of course, and I gained again. And
how much did you weigh around that time? Because you were 5'9", so...
I would say I was about 180 pounds at that point.
Okay.
And I remember getting to 162 my sophomore year.
But it was funny really, how those, really hard to get there.
Yeah, I was
with
eating
as muscular
hardly anything.
As you are.
Yeah. And like I said, I felt awful. But anyhow, that came back on freshman year of college. I decided instead of gaining the freshman 15, I wanted to lose some again. I ended up going to Jenny Craig. Lost quite a bit of weight. I think I got to about 155 at that point. It was expensive. You and I know the food was awful.
Yeah.
Did not stick with that. After I had my first child in 2001, I went to Weight Watchers and lost a lot of weight at that time. And I'll come back to that, but just a little more history here. Eventually gained that back, tried the South Beach diet, tried Advocare.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Somebody I knew was selling it. Yeah.
Yes. Did the Dexatrim, did the Fentramine. I don't know how that stuff is legal. I could not sleep
at all.
It was awful.
I felt so terrible. But the sad part is that it worked. Like, I had no appetite.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there was some book that I read. Dr. Amen, have you ever heard of him? He's a brain expert.
No.
He's known for doing brain scans. I saw him speak. Daniel Amen is his name. He was at a conference that I went to for teachers, and he talked about hyperactivity and brain scans and different types of hyperactivity, and they could pick it up looking at the scan. And, you know, depending on how your brain scan looked, it would determine which medications to use. Like, you know, doctors just, you know, throw out different types until one fits. But he could actually tell from the brain scans. That made me interested in his work. But he actually had a book about, I think it was weight loss or something. And of course, I found that one. And he talked about certain brains do really well with Fentramine. And I was like, that must be my brain. Because it really like totally took away my appetite. And that was when I lost a lot of weight and was able to keep it off as long as I kept taking Fentramine. But I felt awful the whole time. So it's like my brain loved it, but also hated it at the same time. So you're right that it really is not, it's not something I would recommend, obviously, especially knowing about intermittent fasting.
No, like I didn't care if I ate anything all day. I had absolutely no appetite.
Right.
I could feel that I was physically exhausted, but my brain was just zinging all night long. And
it felt like you were wired. Like the ketosis feeling of feeling that mental clarity and feeling good is a great brain feeling. But that Fentramine, like I can remember taking it and it would like wash over. I felt it literally wash over me and it's like, boom. And it just didn't feel quite right. You're right. But I liked the weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then I gained it all back in 50 pounds in 18 months. So,
yeah, it came back fast. Going back to when I was trying Advocare, I had this strategy where every time I would lose and gain, I would think, I always have trouble with the maintenance. And what if I never have to go through a maintenance phase? So I used an online calculator and I put in the weight I wanted to be and what calories I'd need to maintain that. And then rather than using like 1200 calories to lose, I thought, well, if I always just eat what I'm supposed to be that weight, then eventually I'll get there and then I'll just stay there.
Calories in, calories out. It's all the math, right?
Exactly.
That makes so much sense.
I know.
Did it work?
It did. It did for a while. Yeah, it was really slow, but still like counting the calories, you can't keep up with it. It wasn't a long-term solution.
Did you get to the weight that you wanted to be?
No, I would say I probably only got to about 168 at that point.
So it didn't work. It didn't get you there.
It didn't work, no.
And we know why when we understand, you know, where the flaws are in, calories out. And of course, Jason Fung's the one who taught me about that at first. And it's because your body manipulates calories out.
Yeah.
It adapts. So that's what happens. Anyway, it's not your fault when you can't keep it up, but your body is like, come on now.
Yeah. But I kept trying to study and learn from my past experiences and trying to build on it and try something again. And I kept trying, you know, like it was just, and I was so frustrated that I couldn't figure it out.
Right. That's how I felt.
And that's kind of where I want to go back to my Weight Watchers experience. Like I said, my oldest child was born in 2001. And for the first time in several years, I couldn't be dieting because I was pregnant. So all of this pregnancy, I'm like, when I get done, man, we're going for this. We're going to lose this weight. This is done. I've had all this time to think about it. Going to go to Weight Watchers. So my mom and I went together and I followed the plan to a T. I counted everything from the day before my oldest was born to the lowest I got at Weight Watchers. I lost 100 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And it was probably between April and November of 1 year.
Wow.
So lost it very, very quickly.
That is amazing. So you went from what weight to what weight?
The day before Trevin was born, I remember stepping on the scale and being mortified. It said 248 pounds. So I got to 148.
So that's a very low weight for your body as well. That was not something you had been seeing for a long time.
Had never seen that before. I stayed there about 5 minutes. And that is where some real problems kind of started. So I lost all this weight very suddenly. Obviously, knowing what I know now, my body was starving and probably hormonally completely out of whack.
Because you had just built a human, right?
You're built a human.
It really is. You know, we just, you know, everybody was born. It's something that happens. It's a natural part of life. But it is a real big deal to our bodies as women when we have these babies. Our bodies have a lot of work to do to heal when we're done.
Yeah. And also, I'm somebody who's really sensitive to sleep. And my mom said when I was a baby, she'd put me to bed at 7. I'd wake up at 7 the next morning, every single night. And even now, if I don't get good sleep, I'm very sensitive to it the next day. And just suddenly having this human to take care of who didn't care that I was sensitive to sleep. And I was up in the night, my sleep was disrupted, and things were just, I think I was probably not, you know, in a really great place because of that too. But I'd lost all this weight finally, and I felt good about myself for probably the first time in my life. And then I remember being at a restaurant out with family and completely eating way too much and thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I should not have eaten that. And not only should I not have eaten that, I feel awful, awful. And I have to get this out of my body. And I remember going in that restaurant, and there began my struggle with
purging.
Yeah. And this is where I said I might get emotional. So,
well, it's absolutely, it makes sense that you would get emotional about it because it's a very emotional time and you were struggling with all the toxic diet culture, right? And the idea that our body is something to fight against and that we train ourselves through all these diets. And, you know, you had been hardcore doing Weight Watchers and you lost 100 pounds from April to November. That is like lightning fast. So we know from the Minnesota Starvation Experiment that our body fights back really, really hard to that much restriction. So the urge to binge is biological. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. But then here we are as humans and we feel weak and we're like, well, that we don't recognize that's biology making you binge. That's biology causing you to eat too much. And it's really hard to fight your body. So then you're like, well, I can't control that. Obviously, I'm weak, so I might as well purge. And then it feels shameful.
Yeah. And you're right about everything you said, what we know now, but I didn't know that then.
None of us did. That's true.
You know, I kept trying and trying to do better. And then this would happen again. I would just wake up in the middle of the night and literally feel driven, like to go to the kitchen and get something to eat. Like it was like, I would wake up and my mind would be like, I have to eat something. And so this just really started a lot of emotional problems for me. You know, I'd always been self-conscious of myself. I'd always been worried about my weight. I have a personality that I do struggle with some depression and anxiety. I've learned to manage that in life. Intermittent fasting has been a huge part of that. But I was really ashamed of myself. And I felt like there was something mentally wrong with me. And that's when I really started to struggle.
And were you keeping this a secret from everybody? Oh, did anybody know?
No, nobody knew. And I felt so bad about myself. I know my poor family. I sought unrealistic reassurance from them because I felt so bad about myself. And when I didn't get that, of course, I was frustrated and they couldn't possibly make me feel better. They had no idea what was going on. And I kept that all to myself and I couldn't communicate it. I didn't know how, you know, you don't know where to start. But
well, that's where the shame comes in because
absolutely,
you're like, I should not be doing this. And if anybody knew, I would be really embarrassed, but I feel driven to do it.
Yes. Biologically, I know now I was driven to do it. But then I was just like, I'm just weak and I'm just failing and I don't know what's wrong with me. And I was in such a terrible place that this eventually led to a failed marriage, destructive choices. I literally wrecked my life and alienated myself from my family. It was just such a horrible time in my life. But anyhow, by the grace of God, I had made a move. And in 2009, I met my husband and he's a wonderful guy. He's like a center of gravity for me. He's kept me grounded. He's very steady and reliable. And we have built a good life together.
I'm so glad.
So I'm in a much better place now. But even through all those years, I was just always trying to struggle with all the ups and downs of the weight, still trying to figure it out. And like I said, in 2015, I did the Advocare. I had lost some more weight. I got into hiking, and that had been a big part of just improving mental health, just getting out in nature. And it's just like a reset for my soul. It's really something that I enjoy now. But on the Advocare, like I said, I couldn't keep up the counting. My stomach hurt. My hair was falling out. It was expensive. And I was like, I've got to quit this. This is not the thing to be doing. This doesn't feel right. So eventually, weight crept up over the years.
Yep.
That brings me to 2019 and finding your podcast. When I started listening, of course, I started with that 16:8. And then I finally, you had mentioned Jason Fung's book, The Obesity Code. And I listened to that book. And I remember I was driving a lot back and forth to kids' games and things at the time. And when I started listening to that book, it was like my eyes were opened.
Right. That's how I felt.
And just like the sudden weight lifted off of me. And like, I just felt all of my insides relax. Like, oh my gosh, this wasn't just me. This was what was happening to my body. This was why I felt that way. This is why I failed so many times. Like just to know that there is a scientific reason for what happened.
Right.
And that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So that book just really was a game changer for me. And of course, reading Fast, Feast, Repeat and just learning so much more just been, like I said, life-changing.
It really is such a relief to understand what was going on and why our bodies did what they did, because we feel like such a failure. You know, you said those words, and that's how I felt as well. And probably everyone listening that struggled with their weight can understand. We were trying so hard. We're smart people. We're good at things. We succeed in many areas of our lives. And why can't we control our weight? Because we look at people, maybe you're blessed like I am with a naturally skinny spouse. And then you're like, you know, who's just like, just eat less, move more, like I do. You know? And we just feel like losers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when you started intermittent fasting, what was your weight around that time?
When I started, I was about 210.
And that was in 2019?
Yes.
And what happened when, I know that you were starting off, you were not fasting clean at first, then you learned about the clean fast. And how was your weight loss?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because from about 2019 to April of 23, I didn't lose anything. And I stuck with that 16-8 mostly.
Okay.
I kept trying to shorten my window, but I just didn't push through.
Right.
And I was in kind of a very stressful work situation, and I just didn't push myself through it. I know that's all there was to it. You know, I probably got to that point where it got hard, and I would just, you know, it was easy when I was down the street from the coffee house to go get something, all those things. But I could wait. I didn't have the horrible headaches like I used to. And I knew that one thing was very, very different. And that was that when I did eat my food, whatever, I could stop. I had, for the first time in my life, this feeling of, I don't really want any more of that.
Right.
And I had never heard that sign before.
So even 16-8, even though it was not a weight loss protocol for you, which we'll talk about why in a minute for everybody who's listening, but it gave you some appetite correction to the point that you no longer felt like you were overeating. So you found weight maintenance with that. You were no longer gaining. You weren't having to diet. You just listened to your body.
100%.
That's huge. So for the first time, you weren't losing weight, but you also were not yo-yoing.
That's right. I was staying where I was. I wasn't gaining anything. I hadn't changed what I ate, just that I didn't eat until after 12 or 1 o'clock. And like I said, I knew that things had changed and improved hormonally because I had that, you know, sign that, okay, I'm done eating here. I don't want to eat anymore. And that I could wait and I didn't have that horrible headache like I experienced at first. So I was convinced this was absolutely correct and the scientifically best way to have your, you know, your eating and your food and your lifestyle and all that. So I was absolutely convinced, even though during that time I hadn't lost anything. And like I said, I wanted to shorten my window. I didn't push through. And then in October of 21, my family lost my brother.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a very, very rough time. And at that time, I just didn't really, it didn't seem important anymore.
I get that. Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much just ate whatever I wanted. And I didn't care about how I looked and I didn't try. And I was so into the habit of not eating breakfast. I never reverted. I just didn't try to close it down at all.
Yeah. I can totally understand that. When you've got real life tragedy, like losing your brother, you're like, who cares what my pants size is? That is not even relevant because I'm grieving. And I get it. You realize what's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So that happened and I was pretty much just really in a rough place mentally. But anyhow, that happened in October of 21. In March of 22, I have a group of female friends and we like to go on hiking trips together. And we were supposed to go the week that my brother had died and we had rescheduled it for March. And we went to the Buffalo National River area. It's in Arkansas. It's one of my favorite places in the spring. It's just beautiful. But we went there and we went on that trip. And my daughter and I also went another weekend. And it was just such a reminder of how much I loved doing that. And I just thought to myself, like, I want to be physically able to do this for decades yet. I don't want there to be a point in my life where I can't see these things because I'm not physically able to. It was just a real great reset for me, for my soul. And like I said, I love going out in nature. I kind of refer to it as God's church because everything, you know, I feel small and everything is, my problem seems smaller there. So after that happened though, I came back from that trip and one of my younger kids started to struggle with anxiety. And I think it was the loss that our family had. He would have been, the twins were 10 at that time, and like an age where you're realizing that, oh, you lose people and you know, sometimes that happens and they don't come back. And they were that age of being able to realize that. And so I think it really bothered him that I had been gone for a few days. And it just sort of set this off. And at that time, I decided that while my family went through this very tragic loss, my brother was a victim of suicide.
Oh, no.
And
I'm so sorry.
It's been very hard, but decided that, okay, I've put this off. We need to get some counseling. So the kids and I, and we all just kind of went and started working with a counselor who was fabulous, really helped us work through where we were, where we wanted to be, and broke that down into steps on how to get there. And I think about that same time, I also read James Clear's book about goals and, you know, breaking that down day by day.
Atomic Habits. That's a great one.
Yep. And so things started to kind of fall together that I'm like, okay, I'm back where I want to try to shorten this window again. I want to lose this weight. And then in April of 23, I left a stressful job situation, started working from home. And about that time, I heard Martin Scher, his episode about the irrevocable commitment. And he made a comment about, I've made lots of commitments that I broke to myself, but I made this one an irrevocable commitment, no matter how long it took. And I wrote that down several times, that word, and then just decided I was not going to open my window until after work. And that is when I finally started to lose that weight.
Awesome. And so now I said I would talk about why. And for everybody who's listening, you may have heard me say this before. We've definitely talked about it on the Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast as well. But, you know, it takes our bodies a certain amount of time to flip that metabolic switch, right? So that we're really tapping into fat for fuel. And it might be right around hour 16. So if you are always eating at hour 16, that is right when your body would start really tapping into fat for fuel, but you're eating. So you're really in balance. You're balancing your window, your 8-hour window, and your 16-hour fast are just perfectly balanced so that you're maintaining your weight. And it's hard when you get to hour 16 because your body doesn't really want to flip the metabolic switch. It would like you to go ahead and eat because that's easier. It's so much easier for us to put in fuel than for our body to have to go for it. And I love Jason Fung's analogy of the freezer in the basement, right? You've heard that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the freezer in the basement is your stored fat. And your body would rather just eat out of the fridge in the kitchen because it's easy to get to. That's the food you're putting in. But if there's no food in the fridge, you're going to have to go down to the basement freezer. It's dark down there. You got to walk downstairs. So, you got to convince your body to go down to that freezer. And that's what pushing through will do. And so fat burning will ramp up once you flip that metabolic switch, but you got to push through the hard. So it actually can be more challenging to do 16-8 than it can be to do like 19-5. After your body's adapted, you might have that little hunger wave. Your body's like, all right, the fridge is bare. Come on, give us something to eat. But if you say, nope, not doing it, then your body's like, fine. And then it'll tap into the fuel and then it gets easier.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you started losing weight. I love that. April of 2023. And how did that go?
It was really, really steady, I would say, between April and October. I lost about 28 pounds. And I've lost about 5 more since that time. It's really, really been slow. But I'm giving myself grace. Got through the holidays. Didn't gain.
Right.
No, and winters in Kansas, it's hard to get outside. You know, it's cold and dark early. And so I'm giving myself that grace that, you know, there'll be better seasons and I've not quit. And I don't really care how long it takes because I'm not ever going to change how I live.
Right.
I feel my best this way. So
that's awesome. And, you know, I can only see you from the shoulders up, but you look like you are a healthy weight to me.
Yeah. I bounce between 178 and 180. I would really like to get to 162-ish is really where I'd like to be. So I don't have that far to go, and I'm continuing to work on it and continuing to tweak.
This is about the weight where your body gravitated to when you were a senior in high school, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You look very healthy to me, so I just wanted to pop that in there. Your body's going to do what it does, right?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So you're right there around 178, 180, and you're feeling good in your body, and you'll never quit. And I think it's such a testament to how great you felt that you – from 2019 to 2023, you just kept going. You didn't quit. Even when things were challenging, you didn't quit. You're like, I like this. I like the way I feel. I'm not going to quit, even without seeing weight loss.
I believe to my core that this is the right way for me to live, that I've never felt better in my life. So yeah, absolutely. And like I said before, like I knew that something had changed in me, that I had that point where I would be like, I don't want any more. I'm full. Because I'd never, like I said, I never ever heard that before. And so that was just like this big shining light that was like, yeah, this is absolutely right. So I've never doubted it, even though those 4 years where I didn't lose any weight, I knew that I was healthier because of it.
I love that. And you just kept going. And then finally, you were like, you know what? I can push through and I'm going to see what happens. And that was it. And you were ready, though. It took you 4 years to be in that mental place. And then hearing Martin talk about the commitment that he made to himself. And you said, I can do that too. And when you pushed it to, you know, a little harder, was it challenging at first?
Oh yeah, it was at first. Yeah, absolutely.
You were flipping that metabolic switch.
I was. And man, I can't tell you how many times the words irrevocable commitment went through my mind. I think I even wrote it on my hand and pen, like, so I would see it. Like, I see irrevocable. Because I had to push through those hard days. So it was challenging at first, but glad I pushed through.
Now you do it. So what's your schedule look like now?
I would say most days I'm 3 to 5 hour window. On the weekends, someday there'll be a 7-ish if there's something going on, with my family or we're at some kind of a dinner or something. If I have a longer day, I'm always so relieved for the next day to get back to my quote unquote normal, because that does not feel normal anymore to eat all day long. And just doesn't seem like it's even, doesn't even make sense. You know, makes you think, what were we doing?
Like, I know.
Sun up to sundown. Gosh, my poor body.
It just feels weird to watch people eat all those times.
Yeah, it does. And man, I was on a vacation last year in April before I started. It was end of March. And I'm with my friends and they're like getting breakfast and they're making sure they have all these meals. And at one point I'm like, we can go do this, but I'm not eating. We can go to this place, but you guys eat supper. I cannot. I physically cannot eat another meal.
No.
I don't know how they were, but anyhow.
That was me, though. I was always eating all the meals, especially if we were on a vacation. I wasn't going to miss one, but I don't know how I fit it in.
I don't know.
It really feels different. Once you get used to the feeling of being an intermittent faster, you do not want to feel all that food in your system. You know, I went to Arizona last month to a conference and the food was pretty good. We were at the Ritz-Carlton. I've never stayed at a Ritz-Carlton. It felt super fancy. But the food was the best food I've ever had at a conference like this. It was really, really, really good food. So I had 2 meals a day. And it was very healthy food because it's a health and wellness community and everything is like gluten-free and dairy-free and really high quality vegetables and everything. But I just had 2 meals a day. By the end of the time I was there, my digestive system just felt too full. Like it was full from my esophagus down. It just felt full. So it felt really good to get back to normal.
Yes, it does. I like this normal. One thing I wanted to note, I don't have a lot of data. I know you have a lot of people that have all their numbers and I don't, but I do have this number in that here I had been doing the 16-8 from 2019 to 2023, early in the year. In early 23, before I ratcheted down to a lower window, I did have my A1C checked because my family has a lot of type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and it was 4.8.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty happy about that. And I even told my mom and she's like, wow, what are you doing? So that was kind of interesting because she's
so
a type 2.
You were healthy. Your body was definitely healing. Even with 16-8 not being a fat loss approach for you, you were experiencing the benefits of having those 16 hours of the clean fast. And your A1C, was that lower than you had seen before?
I had never had
remember?
It checked.
Okay.
No, I never had it checked, but all these years of up and down and diet history and here my mom was a type 2. I was like, well, I better get this number, you know, checked to see because I was worried what it was going to be.
Right.
And so I was really happy to see it was there. And just, I would assume that those, what was it, 4 years prior, 3.5 years prior of doing that 16-8 has to have contributed to that. But, you know, we have no way of knowing because I don't
That's
have that
true,
earlier
but I
data
would
point.
Bet you're right. I bet that that did make a difference. It would be nice to have that data, but I don't have all that data either, like you. I don't.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yep.
But you were asking what my current protocol is. And like I said, it's probably 3 to 5 hours. Occasionally, I know you say don't do count calories and things. Occasionally, I will spend about 2 days counting and weighing as a reality check, because sometimes I'm like, how much am I eating? You know, this handful of nuts doesn't look like much, but really, how much is it? And I find it's just kind of a good reality check to think, well, what are my serving sizes? You know, what am I doing here? So that helps me out.
Yeah. And, you know, I get that. I talk in Fast, Feast, Repeat in the section where I really explore, you know, the flaws with counting calories. But even though there are flaws in counting calories and the goal is to not need to count calories, you can overeat. Calories do matter if we eat too much. If we eat too much, we will not lose weight because we won't need to. If we eat too much, our bodies will store. So that's the part that can be confusing. We don't want to overeat. We don't want to undereat. We want to get better at listening to our body and hearing our signals. And there are some foods that are more calorically dense and easier to overeat. You mentioned nuts. For me, it's cheese and dairy and cream and butter. Those are the culprits for my body that I can just really, really overeat easily. So we do have to be mindful of quantity and also quality.
Mm-hmm. I was listening just last week to your podcast with Sherry. I think it was number 32, talking about listening to your body. And I was thinking about that and how you do need to listen to your body, but your body wants to keep you where you are.
It does. Homeostasis. Our bodies like to be right where we are.
So, well, if you're still trying to lose, it's hard to listen to your body and yet tell your inner toddler no, right. Because you do need a little bit of that or you're going to stay where you are.
Well, that's true. And it's a matter of knowing how your body responds and what has worked for you in the past. Like when I think back to my entire diet history of when I was not doing intermittent fasting, but just dieting, what worked for my body to lose weight? Well, it was the low fat. That worked really well for me. And now, as you know, I've gone through the experiences as an intermittent faster and the periods where I've experimented with whole food, plant-based, lower fat. Hey, you know, I did lose weight, even though I wasn't trying to or needing to. And so I know that is a tool that works in my toolbox. I know that my body stores fat from fat pretty easily. And so I just know that. There are also people listening who may know that a lower carb approach works well for them. They know that. They have always lost weight well with a low carb approach and they enjoy that. And so that would be something you could certainly incorporate. So we get to choose the foods that will support our goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I love ice cream, but if I eat a lot of ice cream, I will gain weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't and have restless legs.
And I love ice cream, but not like I used to.
Yeah.
It's awfully sweet.
It is very sweet, but it's dairy. I swear, that's my brain's crack is dairy.
I do love it,
it
too.
Lights it up in a way that I understand, but it's definitely pleasurable for me. So has your taste in food changed at all?
Definitely more discerning about it.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
A little pickier
than I used to be. I listed some of the books that I read along the way, but one of them was The Science of Skinny.
Yeah.
And the importance of whole, natural, unprocessed foods. And so I really try to just lean towards whole foods and things that are not flour and breads. Good bread still makes the cut, like sourdough or something like that. But for the most part, I try to avoid that. But otherwise, I don't really have a food group that's off limits. I just try to eat really balanced. You know, we eat beef. My parents farm. They give us a beef every year. So we always have that. It's nice to have it in the freezer. But we have that, vegetables, potatoes. My family has been subjected to my learning how to cook dry beans.
Oh.
Some efforts have been better than others.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I don't have the patience for dried beans. I have some beautiful Rancho Gordo beans at home, and every now and then I'll fool around with them and cook them, but it's an effort.
Yeah. I'm determined to get good at it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you have an Instant Pot? Do you like it?
I tried them in the Instant Pot and they just got kind of mushy and foamy.
Yeah, I burned them. I don't know what was wrong with my Instant Pot, but you know how you're supposed to be able to like saute and then switch it over. But every time I tried to saute and then switch it over, it would like get burn. It would like say burn. Like it has a word, burn. Did you ever see it? I'm like, how am I burning in my Instant? I gave my Instant Pots away. And I'm sure there's a way to do it right. So, but I don't have space for Instant Pots in my little bitty house. So I just use the stove.
Yeah. Well, I haven't given up. I'm still determined to try to figure out how to make these beans really,
it's
really
time.
Good.
It just takes time. With dried beans, it's just a matter of time and patience. And see, that's my problem. I fully own it. Canned beans, they just work for me.
Yeah, I guess I should try that too. They're good in a pinch. I'm just like, I just want to figure these out. It's just my obsession right now.
I get it. No, I understand. It's like, you're like, I am not going to be defeated by these beans. And when I have time, I'll make those dried beans and they'll last for a long time. If anything weird ever happens with our supply chain, I've got some beans and I'll have time. So
there you go.
They are so good when you take the time. But it just, you just have to soak them and let them sit and then cook them a long time. And that's where I'm always running around. So I don't have time to babysit those beans.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that is so an good issue. And then the only other thing is our house is alcohol free now. It was never a big part of my life, but it's just something my husband and I have both given up. So that's the only other thing we don't do.
Yeah. And it feels so natural once you really settle into it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you grow up kind of with it and you learn to socialize with alcohol, you've got to relearn how to socialize. It was hard to go out at first and be around friends who were all drinking just because it just feels different. But with some practice, it's not a big deal. And everybody knows that and it's not an issue. So.
Yep. And you show them that you're just as much fun as you were before.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's
fun.
The thing. Exactly.
I'm still fun.
Me too. Turns out it was never the alcohol that made me fun. I'm just fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you show them that you're just as much fun, then they get over the fact that you're not drinking. I remember the very first time when I was dabbling in not drinking, it was maybe, I don't know, 2020, perhaps, that I was coming to the beach with all of my college friends. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell them until we get here because they might not want to come if I'm not drinking. But they were surprisingly great about it.
Yeah.
I was more worried, obviously, than what they might say. But I literally did not tell them until we got here that I wasn't going to be drinking because it felt so weird. Because, you know, our whole experience knowing each other was college. And there's a lot of beer involved in those early days.
College was a different time.
Yeah, it was. It absolutely was. So y'all are alcohol free. And do you ever get some good mocktails when you're out?
I like to get the virgin strawberry daiquiris from the local Mexican restaurant. They're really, really good. I don't know how they blend them and they make them so like light and so good. My husband likes the NA beers. I just bought some Heineken 0.0s yesterday, actually.
Yeah, Heineken 0.0. I don't tend to have it as much in the winter. Like I don't have any right now. But when the warmer weather comes along, I love to have a Heineken 0.0 on the porch with my window opener because it just feels like I'm celebrating.
Yeah. And then like during my window, I really, really love the lime Topo Chico.
Oh my gosh, I had one for the first time. And of course, keep that in your eating window, everybody. And I have never liked a flavored seltzer water, really. I don't like the way they taste. They just taste fake and gross. But my massage therapist, she's amazing. She brought me a lime Topo Chico as a gift and said, here, try this. And so I, of course, waited for my window. It was so good.
Yes, it was.
It doesn't taste gross. They must use real lime to flavor it because I can always taste the fake artificial.
Yeah. And sometimes like if I have an earlier window kind of in the afternoon and I've closed maybe at 5 o'clock, it's probably not the correct, but sometimes if it's like 8 or 9 and I'm feeling restless, but I don't want to open my window, I'll be like, I'm going to have that concession and have that lime Topo
Chico.
You just
extend a little bit with your lime Topo Chico. But I need to figure out where to find them because I've only just had the one that she gave me. Where do you find them?
I found them at Costco in this case. Like, it's a huge case of them.
Oh, well, I'll have to check and see if we have them at our Costco. I haven't been to Costco in a long time. Chad will go for me, and our Costco is very busy here at Myrtle Beach. Very busy Costco. You can't even find anywhere to park, but I'll send him for some lime Topo Chico, see if he can find it.
Our closest Costco is an hour and 45 minutes from me, but when I'm there, I stop and see if I can find them. Can you still hear me?
Well, then I will not complain about having to, if you're that far from a Costco.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, tell us about some of your non-scale victories.
All right. So I have some things written down here. Last year, before I went down to a shorter window, you know, later in the day, I had terrible pain in my hands, carpal tunnel. That is virtually gone. I had pain in my hip for years. If I'd walk very much, like it just got so sore. I haven't had that in months, literally. Wow. Doesn't hurt at all. One of my biggest ones is I had this silent reflux issue and just dealt with it for years. And they threw all kinds of allergy medication at it, wouldn't fix it. I did the anti-reflux medications. Nothing seemed to fix it. Every time I go to my ENT, he like puts that camera up my nose and down my throat and looks, says, let's try this, let's try that. Well, I went back in December. And he looked at it again and he's like, well, have you been taking this medicine? I was like, no. Have you been taking that medicine? Nope. I said, I haven't taken anything. And he's like, well, you know, it's a lot better. He's like, the last time you were here on a scale of 1 to 10 and being 10, the worst looking throat I had seen, you were probably at a 9.
Wow.
And he said, now I'd put you at a 3. That's might be some minor irritation there, but really it looks like a normal throat.
Well, that's fantastic.
It is. It is. And so that's just been so great to not have so much discomfort and sore throat all the time that I was having. So, and it makes sense. If the food is causing you to reflux, if you don't have food so often, you don't reflux so often. So,
there you go.
You know, it's a chain of events there. Another one is I can keep up with my really tall friends when we walk. I have these friends that are like 5'10", 5'12", you know, 5'11", 5'12". That would be
5'12
6 foot,
is a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. People who don't want to say they're 6 foot, they're 5'12". Yeah. But anyhow, I can keep up with them just fine. In my dad's family, he has 5 kids in his family. Every one of them has a pacemaker because there's an electrical heart thing that seems to run in our family. And I used to have these palpitations and feel like I was having problems. I do not ever have that anymore unless I eat something with like a lot of sugar.
Oh, wow.
So I never notice it. And it was pretty regular that I would notice it before. So I'm hoping that I can stave off that issue from my genetics. One thing that I had written down at the beginning of 2023 on my goals for the year, because I'm that kind of a person, I wrote down that one of my goals was to convince one person in my life that IF was the scientifically correct lifestyle and be an example to them. Like, not that I was going to convince them, but I was going to be an example that convinced them. And so this year, my husband started as well, and he's lost about 60 pounds, and he's feeling a lot better, a lot less pain.
Hubby. And I know you're like,
yes,
yeah, look at you losing 60 pounds.
I'm just so happy for him.
Right.
He's, you know, yeah. And then, of course, there's the number one NSV, and that is just my mental health and well-being. Man, I feel at peace like I've never felt before.
See, there it is. That's what it's all about, right? And that's what you can't really communicate to people who are not intermittent fasters and who don't get it. Even in 4 years of not losing any weight, the mental changes, the peace, were life-changing.
Yes, absolutely. I feel in tune with my body and I've never felt before.
And that's not something they're going to tell you in a like randomized control trial, right? I mean, that's not, they're not reporting that data. So our own studies of one, our own anecdotal evidence, that's not something they're going to report in a science journal.
No, it's hard to put into words, you know?
Exactly.
And then my ability to focus and learn new material and retain new information has just improved drastically. I've been on an antidepressant for years. About 4 months ago, I cut that in half. And I told myself at the time, I'm going to wait 6 months before I consider to see how I'm getting along. Great. So I'm hoping that this year, that's one of my goals, to eliminate that from my life. Right. So working on that. And then I know you always ask, what's your why?
Yeah.
And a long time ago, my why, I made it an acronym, which is Whole Healthy You. It's my why.
Oh, I love that. W-H-Y.
Yes.
Whole Healthy You. Yes. That is fantastic. I love that. See, I like those kind of things as an elementary teacher. And Chad also loves acronyms. So I'm going to tell him that one. He's going to like it.
And so, of course, my health and the, like I said, diabetic issues in my family, heart disease. I want to stay healthy for many, many years and just to feel good for my kids. And I got my fingers crossed that someday I might have some grandkids. Since I have my grandma name picked out, I'm going to be Grammy Tammy.
Oh, I love that, Grammy Tammy.
I know. So that's my why.
Well, that's the best why of all. You know, we want to be healthy. We don't just want to live a long time. We want to live a long time healthily.
Yes.
And feel good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be, like I said, whole, because I want mentally and physically to be healthy, because I truly believe mental health is health.
Yeah, it is.
Like if you don't feel good mentally, like you're not going to feel good physically. So I think it's all connected.
That is so very true. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would say to push through the hard, because at that time when we start, we are really not in tune with our body and we're not able to listen to our body at first because they might be broken in a lot of ways. So listen to that clock at first.
Yeah.
And go follow that clock and push through the hard. You will heal yourself, and eventually being able to tune into your body, that part will come. So I would say just push through that hard. And then the only other thing is I had written an accountability statement that I actually found. And this was from a long time ago, and I'd like to share it if you don't mind.
I would love to hear it.
Okay. So this was what I had written down in one of my journals, and it said, 1 year from now, I will be vibrantly healthy. I will feel peacefully confident, free from the shame and prison of poor choices, poor habits, and a poor state of being. I will look back, and I will never forget nor return to the person I am today. I will share my story of depression and eating disorders, my faith, and how I found my way out over the course of time, lots of time, and I will be proud of me.
Oh, Tammy, that is absolutely beautiful. And I have to also say that your cute dog is in the background and he just rolled around. And so everybody, that was her cute dog celebrating Tammy's accountability statement. I mean, I wish y'all could have seen it, but we don't record the video. But while Tammy was reading that beautiful statement, the dog was rolling around with joy. So I just really enjoyed that, hearing your words and watching your dog.
I was so nervous about today, but really it just feels like a celebration to be able to say that and to read that statement and think that, man, I am proud of myself today. It's been a journey and there's so much yet to come. There's so many things I'm still learning about myself and tweaks I want to make. But gosh, I feel so peaceful and confident that it's going to be good and I'll get there, because thanks to you and all of this new information, like, we have the tools we need to get where we want to be.
We do. And Tammy, thank you so much for sharing your story today. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, Super Beats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
I have missed these Friday night dinners.
Welcome to Harvey Gras!
At these family dinners...
Delicious, everyone!
Dysfunction is served.
I can't have you all messing things up for my entire adult life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we embarrass you?
Jump, jump, jump!
It's already better than I dared to dream.
They're extra.
Let the wild rumpus start!
Woo, 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 woo.
And they're embarrassing.
We know how hard it is to move on from the first girl that you ever slept with.
Not the first girl who I ever slept
with. Yeah, right. You're a regular
lady killer.
I thought you said it was going to be boring here tonight.
No! I really hoped it would be.
But they couldn't love each other more.
It's mom and dad being totally normal.
Wow.
So, dinner next Friday, everyone?
Wouldn't miss for the world.
Dinner with the Parents, Season 1. Stream free only on Freevee.